the focus, where at the end of the day, the only interest is in the woman of the interpretation of the GDPR, very okay, in the following messages and part of the history. The first one is the DNA program. The interpretation is actively involved with the DNA drive
to obtain and manage the DNA Rhino data bank of Southern Africa. Over 1,200 samples were collected over the past year. Namibia has joined the program and started to submit DNA samples as well. The next one is the Stop Rhino Poaching. Stop Rhino Poaching is an awareness program driven by 94.7 Jacaranda, the radio, to assist the fight against rhino poaching. The next one would be Lead SA. Lead SA is an awareness program driven by the private sector to assist in stopping rhino poaching. The next one is Conserve. Conserve is a community policing initiative where all members are in SMS contact with the latest incidents and call out for assistance as it relates to rhino poaching incidents. The next one is the National Wildlife Crime Reaction Unit. This reaction unit is an interdepartmental initiative between Sandparks, South African Police Service, the National Prosecuting Authority, and Nature Conservation, working closely in the detecting, investigation, and prosecution of wildlife crime cases. It has the objective of implementing an immediate action plan aimed at mitigating the current threat to the rhino population posed by the escalation in poaching and illegal trade in rhino horns and the associated byproducts. So those were the questions listed. There was another question, Madam Chair, that was asked prior to this presentation about the relationship between the former DSO and the SAS members. I think it's important to note that the DPCI is actually a merger of the DSO, so of the organized crime units of SAPS, of the commercial crime units of SAPS, as well as the high-tech center of SAPS. And all these capacities come with their own unique and their own culture and dynamics. So it's not just the merger of former DSO with SAPS. It's a merger of all these different entities that we are in the process of trying to emerge into a single coordinated and efficient entity and team. We have, and I think it's important to note that of the work and of the successes that the unit has been able to record has been as a unit. It hasn't been specifically from the former DSO, or it's been from the former organized crime. Many of these successes is part of that team. However, one must indicate that there are still challenges in terms of the relationships, and we have, with the assistance of our employee assistance services, looking at service providers that would be able to undertake an organizational diagnosis and be able to assist us in terms of facilitating a smoother transition to the desired situation that we want. Yeah. So that is from my side. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Tamat. Any follow-up question? Honorable Lekgetho.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, General Tamat. You are saying that the vacancies that still exist is 305. Obviously, it's a concern to me because that is a big, big number. I'll be happy if you could categorize those vacancies. You have in what happened to the cases that were transferred from Scorpion to the Hawks. You say 136 not finalized. It's quite a time since this was done, the transfer. I just want to check with you, when do you estimate that these 136 cases will be finalized? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lichet. Honorable Sata.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got a question with regard to the rhino poaching. It is written in your answer that there is so-called legal hunts, and you also indicated that those people are actually interested in the rhino hunts. So I just want to find out: are you doing investigation if people receive that legal document to hunt legally? That license, actually, that is giving them that power to actually to hunt, as it is so-called legal hunting. So I just want to find out from your side if a person has got that license to do that. Are you actually investigating as to whether are those people actually doing it for the purpose of the real purpose, or just doing it for the sake of getting that one? And if you find out that was the intention, what actually are you doing? Are you actually arresting those people? And how many people have you arrested in that regard, if that is the case? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, General Samad, yeah, I know for a fact that this will definitely not be the issue, maybe your issue now. Maybe one will have to discuss it with other departments, particularly health, and maybe even education. You know, in Mpumalanga, there is not a single approved private nursing school, not one, because the Department of Health in Mpumalanga is not allowing private colleges students to train or to do practice in the hospitals. Once you don't have that, then you cannot have a private nursing college. However, there are private nursing colleges all over in the province. And children are made to pay 9,000 rand per year for the training that will never take them anywhere. And probably that is why I was even asking that question. You go to Witbank, there are some. You go to Nelspruit, there are many. They are owned by, in the main, foreign nationals. They are not trained nurse educators. In South Africa, you can never have a private nursing college or own a private nursing college unless you yourself are a trained nurse educator. So the general may never own a private nursing college ever, because he's not a nurse educator. He might be a teacher by profession. There are so many of them, and they are paying huge sums of money. And this time around, my sister's sister-in-law daughter is in one of them. I heard just recently, and I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. And in my heart, I said, but had you asked, I would have told you that there isn't a legitimate private nursing college in Mpumalanga. Once you talk about the private nursing college in Mpumalanga, it's a fly-by-night, simple and straightforward. And they're operating like they're supposed to. And they let these children buy uniform. They're not doing practicals anywhere. They come from very poor families. They're paying 9,000 rand for nothing. There will never be nurses in South Africa at all. And it's happening. And probably it is just out of that I was asking. And maybe one would have to talk to the Portfolio Committee on Health to say, can they really raise this matter so that it is followed up? Because I think the Nursing Council was supposed to even approach HOCS to say, please investigate this, or the Department of Health. Because in South Africa, they must be registered with the Nursing Council for them to be a private nursing college. And it's as simple as all that. Phone the Nursing Council, check if the name is there. If it is not there, it's a flight by night. Is the person owning it a nurse by profession? Not a nurse by profession, it's a flight by night. Because in South Africa, you definitely must be a nurse with nursing education degree, sometimes even an honors degree. So I was asking this question out of this hurt and pain, that one is actually experiencing and see happening. People paying money for nothing. And many of them are owned by foreign nationals, Nigerians in particular. I've seen it. So I was just raising it out of that, from that perspective. General Trump. Honorable George, I understand. Really, I think I will have to call Honorable Ligota, then now you can answer your question. Ask your question.
There was this question of one case is 100 and something not finished. But you said on the issue of expertise shortages being addressed through training and recruitment. My question is this thing, the question was asked by Constable Lehato, but about 156 cases not finalized. Has that to do with this shortage of expertise? There are 156 cases. 156 cases not finalized. Constable had asked the question that this is a long time. What could be the reason? I'm asking, adding to that question, is it because of this expertise shortage which you're saying is being addressed through training and recruitment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In terms of the 305 vacancies and the way that's been categorized, Madam Chair, these vacancies we are thinking of filling. Remember that we structured nationally in all the provinces, and we've seen a need to first of all begin to allocate posts to our provincial offices. There was an issue that was raised within the AG's report around our OCPIs, our Organized Crime Project investigations. So that is the area where we would want to allocate posts. There's also areas that we've, in terms of our structure, our financial and asset section, that we thought we'd also need to be allocating posts to, as well as our anti-corruption section. Remember, it would be a new section, and it is a section that would be dealing with the corruption within the, primarily within the JCPS cluster. So those are the areas that we were considering these 305 vacancies where we would think of allocating them. In terms of the 136 matters that is not finalized, I think it's important for me to also indicate with the 288 cases that came over from the former DSO, and we've indicated that all of them as projects / investigations, all of them were really just inquiries and not necessary matters that you would was ready made projects. So those things we haven't been able to close them as yet. And some of them, the 136, it is an issue of the complexity of those matters that would result in the need for us to why they would be taking so long. All of them would require forensic audits, where we need to go through the process of appointing companies, and these things do take a bit of time. It is a bit difficult for us to estimate in terms of how long those investigations would take to conclude, but we do prioritize all the cases, and we do try and fast track of them as far as possible. On the issues of the rhino poaching and the legal hunters, it is a matter that in this multidisciplinary team that has been raised and has been looked at, because remember that these hunters would have permits, and we are suspecting that they use these permits and these hunts actually for, not in terms of the sport, but actually for the horns and wanting to put that into to the trade. Thus far, we haven't been able to detect that any of those horns actually landed up in the market, in the illicit market. And I'm sure that the issue of the DNA sampling or the data bank would also be able to assist us, where we might be able to begin to create a link between the legal hunts and those zones, as well as in the illicit rhino market. Yes, Chair, and I've taken note of the issue of the fly-by-night schools and your comments, and I think we'd welcome and support if there can be engagement with those other departments that would be able to engage with ourselves, so that we can actually follow up these fly-by-night schools, be it in Mpumalanga or the KZN. I think from our side, we would also see if we can make any approaches to our colleagues in the health department on the matter. Thanks.
Thank you very much, General Tamat. KZN is better off because they have approved private nursing colleges. They are there, not Mpumalanga. And yet there are so many of them. They are all fly-by-night. Otherwise, if there are many of them in Mpumalanga, in KZN, that are legitimate, that you can take your child and it's correct because they are approved. Gauteng as well, but not Mpumalanga at all. However, there are so many of these fly-by-night. No, thank you very much. We're moving on to financial statement and auditor general related questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. A number of questions regarding the financial statements and the AG report were that's the first page in the document submitted. The first page, that was a question posed by the Chairperson, where the Chairperson basically asked whether the purchase of an helicopter was indicated in the operational, the annual performance plan. The helicopter was ordered in 2009-10 financial year. The helicopter was delivered and paid for in the 2010-11 financial year. The intended purchase was not specifically indicated in the annual performance plan of the 2009-10 financial year. Although prominent objectives were included in the annual performance plan, at the time, not all operational aspects were included. Since then, a framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans has been issued by the National Treasury. The Chair will remember, it is the one with the red, which now directs us from the current financial year, and specifically from the 12-13 financial year. We will have to comply with the provisions of this framework. This framework has specific formats and requirements so that we have more consistency. This inter alia requires that APPs be finalized together with the EME and not afterwards, in order to enhance alignment in 2012-13, so that the EME and the operational plan goes absolutely parallel. Key spending priorities remain a main focus in this regard. May I just say that the spending aspects of that plan have already been introduced in the 2011-12 APP, where we're starting to roll out the requirements in terms of the financial aspects in this regard. Then, a very important aspect, Chair, although it relates to a subsequent financial year, a review of the aircraft fleet has already been taken in 2011-12 financial year. There are a number of old helicopters that we would like to get rid of and then also start replacing them. And I don't want to speak on behalf of General Mawela, but there will then also be some expansions of a wing or two in time to come. So we are busy to review this whole helicopter plan and also the utilization of the air fleet in this regard. CARA, Criminal Assets Recovery Account, the Prevention of Organized Crime Act 1998, or in abbreviated format POCA, provides for the establishment of the committee chaired by the Minister for Justice and Constitutional Development. The committee consists of the Minister of Safety and Security, Minister of Finance, Minister of Land Affairs and Agriculture, and the National Director of Public Prosecutions. In terms of POCA, the distribution of monies and assets in CARA must be made by Cabinet acting on the recommendation of the committee. This has been indicated in order for members just to see that it is quite a fixed process. The amount of 7.021 million was approved for utilization of the following: forensic auditing, 2570 million, chartered accountants, 2.751 million, and then training, 1.7 million. During the year under review, 311,000 was spent for training purposes. Due to the conditions imposed as per the POCA on the utilization of the funds, only commercial and organized crime investigator functions may use these funds, these specific funds as allocated, for the purpose as approved. In other words, the amounts may not be used for purposes not intended for, except obviously if you go back to Cabinet. The actual spending is subject to auditing and reporting to the committee. In respect of expenses in relation to forensic auditing and chartered accountants, the respective firms have been appointed through the necessary processes, the latter that was concluded during the year under review, and in one specific case, a total amount of 6 million was committed, which will deplete the remainder of the amount available for the purpose. However, actual realization in terms of payments can only take place once progress reports and invoices are produced by the companies. In short, thus, Chairperson, the 6 million or 6 of the 7 million have already been committed for forensic and accounting services in terms of cases that are being investigated, and as interim invoices are received, payments will be effected. So it's actually a committed amount in this regard. This has also been verified with the DPCI where this amount is being administered. The AG reported a contingent liability of 611 million by SAPS. An indication of the year-end was received that the Department of Public Works took a decision to apply for a declaratory order in the Sanlam-Middelstad lease agreement for the court to make a ruling on legality or otherwise of the lease agreement. The definition of a contingent liability, as quoted in this response to Parliament, reflects uncertainty in terms of occurrence, non-occurrence of future events, timing and amount, so it is interwoven with uncertainty. An amount of 611.692 million has been included in disclosure note 19 of the annual financial statements as a contingent liability together with an explanation. If the court makes a decision that the state is liable as far as the merits is concerned, then the liability could be incurred by SAPS and funds will probably have to be found and provided for within the existing baseline allocated to the departmental budget allocation. This matter, however, is before court and an outcome is awaited. Then details on the 82.6 million owed to SAPS by the Department of Mineral and Energy Affairs. We've quoted the letter, Cecil. In a letter to Dr. Danny Jordan, CEO of the LOC, the following was stated by the National Commissioner. The claim I submitted amounts to 82.625 million and reflects the actual expenditures incurred for the steward security functions performed by the police during the Soccer World Cup. You will no doubt appreciate the fact that the reimbursement is required in order to clear actual expenditure incurred. In a letter to the National Commissioner, the following subsequent response was provided by the CEO, Dr. Jordan of the LOC. The board noted that the timing of settlement is dependent on funds being received from the Department of Energy, which is indebted to the OC in the amount of 281 million. We had anticipated that the Department of Energy, DOD, DOE would settle a part of his obligation before 31 March 2011. However, they have since advised that they will only be able to settle this obligation in April 2011. Please be assured that we will settle our obligation to SAPS as soon as we receive monies from DOE. The chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations also inquired and was informed by the National Commissioner that the amount of 82.625 million was received on 30 June 2011 in the bank account of SAPS, and the debt account was indeed cleared. In essence, this was an amount that was owed to SAPS, actually by the LOC, but subject to payment by Minerals and Energy, or Energy, the Department of Energy, to the LOC, what is believed for electricity of stadia regarding the Soccer World Cup. Decrease in payments to CETA and increase in payments to external service providers. That is note 5.2 of the financial statements. CETA Computer Services, AFIS. Why did CETA Computer Services decrease and why did external computer services increase? AFIS upgrade performed in 2009-10 to the value of 117 million, which did not take place in 2010-11, and more paid for network maintenance, 67 million more in 2009-10 than in 2010-11. The AFIS upgrade was done and completed in 2009-10, so the amount did not recur and was then significantly reduced. That is why you had a decrease in that CETA aspect, and then obviously also in terms of the network maintenance, that was 67 million more in 2009-10. External computer services, more data lines, upgrade and rental of 44 million in 2010-11, and more payments on IBIS upgrade, 42 million. A small amount on Warum equipment established, 6.9 million plus IJS related payments, i.e. exhibit management, 38 million more, and case docket administration, 6 million more. All in all, making up the difference between year-on-year amounts. Details on the increase in consultancy fees for the forensic laboratory services, note 5.3. This item has been activated and is for the exclusive use of the forensic science laboratories. The maceration of human remains is vested against this item and entails the cleaning of decomposed remains, unidentified and unknown decomposed human remains, which could range from putrefied, mummified, and skeletonized remains, are sent to the Anatomy Department of the University of Pretoria for cleaning and analysis. Expenditure increased from 137,000 or 0.137 million to 883,000 in 2010-11. The expense of 970,000 or 0.970 million for the 2010-11 financial year includes the maceration of human remains and, in addition, a case file archiving and retrieval service, case files such as DNA analysis exhibits, blood samples previously vested under storage of files, and therefore you had the increase in this regard. Then is there any reconciliation when goods are purchased? I ask members just to please to go to Annexure A in this regard. Annexure A is a lengthy document, quite a lengthy document of nearly 14 pages. If I might just go through the highlights in terms of the sequential steps and the segregation of duties as being performed. Budget allocations are allocated by the National Commission or the Accounting Officer to various cost centers such as divisions and provinces. And then, for instance, a purchasing decision is taking place. The first thing that will happen, one will get in a financial authority, that's to make funds available, that's to reserve funds against an allocation. The second thing that will happen is a procurement authorization. The procurement authorization is to say that the intended way of procurement is the correct way, and in essence. Then one will get registration of suppliers if they are not already registered on the database of the South African Police Service. A very important aspect, supplier name and alternative names, postal and street address, ID number, passport number, company registration number, VAT number, tax number, and bank account number, fax number, email address, trying to incorporate as much as detail against which you can test in terms of your program rules in this regard, and still it remains a challenge. Then one gets the registration of the supplier bank account details, and that goes to the safety net of the National Treasury as well to verify that the bank account is indeed the bank account of that specific company. And then one gets the registering of the supplier account details. All the details are there for members should they want to read through the specific procedures that have to be executed between different persons in order to affect the administration of suppliers. And then after verifying of the supplier bank account details, order form will be issued. Goods and services will therefore be ordered. After goods and services have been ordered, it will be delivered. So it is then it's basically the procurement of the goods and services phase then, and then it will be delivered. When it is delivered, it must goods and services either by supply chain or the end user will certify that it has been received, and proof of delivery must be included there. Detailed processes regarding the take-on aspects, etc., are taking place as part of the SCM environment, obviously not specifically part of this document per se. Receiving and capturing of invoices, then, there are basically four status. You have got a first status where you capture the invoice, together with different controls where you have to look at the certification that is being done by a person. Then you also have the scheduling of an invoice. First two phases are supply chain management, where you schedule the invoice. Then the checking of payment documentation by financial services in that specific cost center or national, wherever. Let's say a cost center is a province, the financial person, the SCM people will perform it. Checking of payment documentation, and then the payment of the suppliers and obviously reports. That is very, very abbreviated format that I have indicated now, and it would be highly appreciated if members can just maybe scan through this in their own time and see. In order, what you will then have, Chairperson, you will then have a reconciliation at the end of the day. For instance, I'm thinking of as a technical nature, B67 report on the system, where you have your budget, where you have your expenditure for the month, where you have your expenditure up to date, where you have your commitment, where you have your authorization, and where you have your remainder amount. So there's an a definite reconciliation between the funds that were reserved initially, the procurement, and eventually the payment of the invoice. And if you then ask what has been paid to a certain company or against a certain item or a certain program, because different permutations exist according to the three classification systems, that will be possible. But this is the underlying process that links the eventual payment to the start of the process in this regard. Obviously, there's much more to it, but I trust that it will give some clarity and indication to members of the committee in this regard. Obviously, before that, you sit with the supply chain process. It's interwoven in this process. And then also when there's a take-on process, it becomes a store item. One will then have a take-on process and an issuing process later on. This all happens. The procurement happens, and I don't want to speak on behalf of General Kruger, but this happens in terms of the different thresholds, which he will elaborate on a bit later, because as you have different thresholds, different procurement techniques kick in, quotations or bids or whatever. That, in essence, no, I still owe you one, Chairperson. I thought General Munu was going to do it, but it seems to be a reduction in informal fees. These are informal fees vesting mainly at the detectives on the open vote in SAPS, which decreased from 39.2 million in 2009-10 to 35.3 million in 2010-11, 9.6% year on year, merely based on the tendency of actual information provided, which have been paid for. Actual occurrence and not as a result of intentional downscaling. When compared to the tendency of the previous year, less informal claims were processed during the year under review. And especially the biggest contributors in this regard were the Free State, Eastern Cape, and Gauteng, where significant reductions took place. Excuse me? This one is a separate one which I have just done. It is not included in the text, Chairperson. As I said, I thought General Munu is going to do it. And okay. A reduction in informer fees, note 5.8. Thank you, Chairperson.
Makhlouf speaks on that. General Makhlouf speaks on the Belgian fund. Belgian fund.
May I continue, Chairperson? Thank you, Madam Chair, honorable members. I will provide information in terms of details on the Belgium funding for the strategic management environment. Now, Madam Chair, the Belgium Technical Corporation, that is the BTC, has funded the training of SAP's members in strategic management since 2004. The BTC awarded the tender to the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, the business school, which is situated in Port Elizabeth, which offers a one-year program called the Program to Support Planning and Management for Improved Organizational Performance. Madam Chair, the aim of the program is to equip members working in the strategic management environment at all levels with the necessary skills and competencies to assist them with the provision of strategic direction, that is the facilitation process, and the implementation of this strategic direction within performance plans. Madam Chair, this also includes our annual reports and quarterly reports as prescribed by the framework on strategic plans and annual performance plans, which General Schutter alluded to. The training funded by the BTC over a five-year period has resulted in three groups of 30 learners and one group of 20 learners successfully completing this training over a five-year period. Now, Madam Chair, 15 learners are currently being trained by the university, and the completion date is end of February 2012. This includes the last part of the 5 year. As a result of the contract entered into the between the BTC and the university, Madam Chair, the funding for the training was directly dealt with between the two parties, and therefore the SAPS is the receiver of these outcomes. In other words, Madam Chair, the SAPS thus received a donation in kind. We didn't work with any funds. It was between the two parties, and we just received the result thereof.
Yeah, I'm interested in a couple of things. One is the money that was owing to SAPS, which was promised by the Ministry of what's it? Minerals and Energy. What is this? Yes, MOE. And they owed you. They said that they would
give you that money in April, and yet it only arrived on the 30th of June. Now, if you're looking at nearly 83 million rand, 2 months of that interest, what, 120,000 rand or whatever, where was the money in the meanwhile? Where did it go for 2 months that it didn't land in your bank account? I find that very, you don't make promises to pay an enormous account like that and then not do it for 2 months. So I'm quite keen to find out about that. And I've been absolutely gobsmacked at the numbers of stations that don't have even the basics. Where we're looking at, well, you do give the final figures here. Of 87 was no sewage, 54 was no water, 27 no electricity. All right, sorry. Okay. I thought it all fell under you. Okay, just leave it at that. Thank you.
Chairperson, in terms of the issue of the decrease in payments to CETA and increase in payments to external service providers. Now, I know we're meeting with CETA and the unit in this week, I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you just, General Scott, you just slide over something there that you know that the committee is actually quite interested in. And this is the issue of the exhibit management, the 38 million, also known, I presume, as part of that infamous PKM project. Can you just give us more detail what the 38 million was spent on? If you can't, then it's a question that we will have to ask them tomorrow when they are here. But I mean, this is the issue that we have a keen interest on. The issue of the Belgian funding. For how long is this still going to continue? I mean, how many people do you see going through the training? It's just a question of clarity on that, so the information on that. Then there's a part of the question that General Skitter, that you left out in terms of the AG's contingent liability issue. We asked last week whether this is the amount or whether if the case goes against Public Works, whether this amount will be more over the period of time, or is this the total liability that we are speaking about. Now, I know it depends on the court's outcome, but given the worst-case scenario, is this the total amount that we are speaking about? I think that it was that on that issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
General Skitter, one of the issues that you're supposed to respond to in writing was related to the irregular expenditure. And there's nothing here on that unless it's the supply chain. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. The very first question on the purchase of aircraft. The question was to say it's not in your threat plan, the ENE and APP. It wasn't. And the question, you're answering it, you say the helicopter was ordered in the 2009-10 financial year, but it's not in those, in the 2009-10 strat plan, I mean strat plan of ENE as well, because I think that time there was no APP. It's not there. And the reason why one would be worried about this is that then now we're talking about the contingent liability. It's not anywhere, not in the structure that we have, not in the APP, not in the ENE. We're talking about it now. Last week, I mean the other week, when CETA came before us together with Shabalala, he presented 22 projects for his department. In the structure plan that we have, there are 16, not 22. Some that he presented are not the ones that are in the strat plan, but they are now budgeted. It would seem like this is becoming a trend, that things happen outside what
has been presented to the portfolio committee. And that is why one will want to know exactly what is the cost for this aircraft. What was the cost? Because I think we did ask that question to say, what was the cost, or what is the cost for this aircraft? It doesn't appear in any of the documents except now, where it comes as aircraft purchase. And I'm just saying that. And you're referring to prominent objectives in the annual performance plan. Would you refer? Would you tell us as to where those prominent objectives are and what are they in this annual performance plan? I think those are the questions that I have in regards to this. I just want to check, does all irregular expenditure, would that all fall under supply chain management? The reason I'm asking is that the Auditor General people sat and they said, you must understand we only audit less than 5% of the total of SAFs because it's so enormous. And there was 78 million irregular expenditure in that small amount. So if you extrapolate that to the full budget, there's a possibility there's 1.5 billion rands worth of irregular expenditure. Should they do a forensic audit of the entire entity? Now, will all of that fall under the one entity of supply chain management? Or I would be inclined to come back to you and say, surely you would have some idea of where else this could fall. Am I wrong?
Respond. Firstly, the LLC question. It was in the bank account, I presume, of the LLC. It was only paid to us in June. It was not paid to us in April. So it must have been with the LLC, or they probably received it from Mineral Energy Affairs prior to it being paid over to us. I do not have, or did have, any access to the financial statements and the receivables at that point in time, but the moment it was received by us, we cleared our debt account, and it decreased the liability in our bank account. So that was it. Unfortunately, the moment we received it, we accounted for it. Then in terms of the exhibit management by the Honorable Van Wyk, let me not speculate and try tonight. Indicate General Chabalala and his team to have it ready for tomorrow, and also from our side, just get the necessary expenditure of, I think it's 38 million, if I recall correctly, on what it has been spent according to the system. Then the total amount of 611 chairperson, you're quite correct. Better alignment should have taken place, and that is why I refer to the latest framework. I think right through government, but also obviously in terms of our department, I think that aligned it, or enhanced alignment between the APP, not so much the strategic plan, but the APP and the ENE is a fact and a requirement. It was not. I went back to the 2009 APP, and it was not in there, so to speak. Yes, one can argue it should have been there as a key deliverable and could have been in there. But I think that we are maybe one area that we are placing on a more sound footing in terms of planning, also because it's such an expensive commodity in time to come, we need to start doing replacements. In this regard, a few of us in the National Management Forum also considered the total capital asset replacement plan in terms of helicopters and obviously then also the maintenance thereof. And obviously you can be assured that it will be in the 2012-13 plan, but better. What I'm actually saying to you, Chairperson, is if you take the first plan in 2009-10, you go to the plan of 2010-11, and then you go to the latest, the dark blue one, that we did for 11-12. You will already see that we've introduced some of the principles of the framework for strategic plans in the dark blue one, which are not in these. So I think the progress is there, and obviously it still needs to be progressed even further according to the format and the requirements by the National Treasury in terms of their framework for the compilation of annual performance plans as well as strategic plans. But you're quite correct. I think that is the case. But since the 2009-10 financial year, I think some progress took place. I think that is it, the amount. I think, if I recall correctly, it's under Program 2. We refer to 30.9 million or 30.8 million in one of our spending priorities there. Let me just get mine. Of the presentation, Chairperson.
Sometimes one wonders. You know, when you give these answers, they make one to even wonder more. The helicopter was ordered in 2019, 10, 11, 11, 12. That is where we are now. What is the cost of this helicopter? A million. I really know. It doesn't appear anywhere from that financial year to the next financial year to the current financial year. It comes at the end. It's these things, Commissioner Skeeter, that make the committee to wonder sometimes, really. Because this is a huge money. I was actually checking here. There's a big department that has a budget of 76 million rand, budget for the department. Yeah. This year, 300 million budget for the department. Tourism, 1.6 budget for the department. And for the department to have purchased this in 2009, and the portfolio committee gets to know about it now, it can't be okay. And what makes it not okay is that really now we're talking about this. You know, you have no idea as to how it feels to us when you read in the newspaper the department this money, but this thing is not anywhere in any of the documents. Then you say no, maybe this is wrong. Then suddenly, you know, truths come out to say, no, indeed, something like this was procured or something like this happened. And you say, but how did it happen? Because it doesn't appear anywhere in any of the documents of the department. Where are we expected to be? What are we expected to say as the portfolio committee? Because this thing is not anywhere. And I'm really raising, I raise this question because, indeed, I wanted to raise the question on this one again, this 611 million one. Any of the because that's what I did immediately when I heard about it. I ran straight to the threat plan to say maybe there's somewhere where we did not see it anywhere. Not anywhere in the ANE for this year or any other year. Not anywhere. It comes to from newspapers. I mean, sometimes maybe as the portfolio committee has got to check as to what should happen to the budget after it has been adopted. We adopt budget. Understanding that what will be done is in this document and it is in your annual performance plan. Then after that, a lot happens. We'll definitely not want to micromanage the department, but 30 million is a lot of money. 611 million is a lot of money. There is no way we would approve budget which has things such as those without actually being given an opportunity to ask questions. So I'm just saying it. But let's move on.
Chairperson, yes, it is the 611 million. We have tried to calculate it as best as we could. We've also escalated it, and that is an indication, Chairperson. Yeah, at this point in time, it might differ a bit, but that is the best because it is a contingent liability with some uncertainty. We've used the rates, we've used the escalations, and we've calculated it to say to the reader in the financial statements. And this was also at an event after year end, which AG also felt we must put in. But it's a contingent liability and it's full of uncertainty. Thank you.
Yes, in terms of how long this arrangement is still going to continue, the BTC indicated to me that they are interested in funding the SAPs for this or the next financial year too. But this happens on a year-to-year basis, so they indicated the documents must just be prepared, and of course through management we can send them. But they did indicate that they are interested because there is value for money in terms of this.
Let's proceed. This one. Are you done? This one. There are only two questions to yourself. Page
41, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. The first question was, how does SAPS ensure that applicants receive their firearm licenses once issued? The following steps are taken to ensure that applicants receive their license cards. Cards are collected by applicants at various police stations and they sign for receipt in the SAPS 86, which is the applicable register. We are also having SMS generated from the call center, which are sent to the applicants to notify them that they should come and collect their cards at their nearest police stations. We also utilize, Chairperson, the local newspaper where we publish to notify applicants to collect their cards. Local radio stations as well as the national media are also utilized to notify applicants to collect their cards. An archiving system will be established at various provinces which bring forward days to deal with all uncollected cards. Question number 45, Chairperson, was how many arrested criminals have been found to be in possession of SAPS firearms? All recovered and confiscated firearms are sent to the forensic science, which is the ballistic section for ballistic and IBS testing. It should be noted, Honorable Chairperson, that the serial number of firearms found in the possession of perpetrators are usually filed off, and to this extent, it is difficult to establish the origin thereof. Chairperson, there was also a question about the misuse of vehicles by the flying squad and the dog unit members in KwaZulu-Natal. It just disappeared. I think this was IT. Chairperson, we've made inquiries at the province. They are not aware of that incident, and we request the Honourable Member to give us particulars in terms of the date, time and place so that the matter can be investigated, because we take the misuse of state vehicles very much seriously. Chairperson, thank you.
I will gladly do that, but the fact of the matter is this was put as a challenge because we were told we can check. Even after the fact, on Mondays we can check where vehicles were. And we're not able to do so. That's what the bottom line is. See, there are questions outstanding. And I'm getting a bit irritated Because some of the questions that were outstanding earlier as well, with detective services, for instance, that you ruled that they can give us to us on Friday, they tell us that they have those questions. So why are we getting selective answers? The issue of sub-13 stores and the mess around sub-13 stores, the issues of archives.
And I just want to check really, with regards to the firearms licenses, is this what is supposed to happen or what is happening? Is it what is supposed to happen or what is happening? Because generally, if you go to Luwate police station, I related a story of a member who, out of his own initiative, decided that let him use a register where people who come to collect their firearm licenses sign, giving a picture that had he not done that, they would not be signing anywhere. And in that police station, I related here that other members are not using that register. It's his register. So if he's not entered the license, made a person to sign, it's not him, others are not doing it. And that is why I'm asking whether you actually are referring to the SAPS 86. And the question is it what is happening or what is supposed to happen? Is it what is happening or supposed to happen? And I hear you well saying that at their nearest police station. Indeed, I will take that now. However, like we indicated in Gauteng, this was not the issue at all. Not the issue at all. It would be a particular police station receiving licenses and whatever. Certificates. And they will remain there. The question is it what is happening or what is supposed to happen? And if it is what is supposed to happen, how are you ensuring that it is actually happening? And really, we worried about this matter. We're taking it very serious because this matter has been, the issue of licenses, firearm licenses, has been politicized. It's a matter that is raised everywhere, you know. And would we would definitely want to know as to whether what you are explaining here is that which is happening or which is supposed to happen.
Thank you. Is it George?
My question is on 45.1. Say it is difficult to establish the origin thereof. Are you saying, therefore, that you'll never be able to say out of the firearms that were stolen from the police, these are the firearms which we have recovered? Is that what you're saying? Because if you are not able to... So you'll never be able to say how many of the firearms that were stolen or lost by the police have been recovered.
You know, every time I feel as though this situation of the firearms is taking a step forward, I get another report where I realize you're actually taking 10 steps backwards again. Just a simple case of someone who's granted a license. You'd think that was great. The system is working. Except they got the license in Krugersdorp and had the audacity to move to Cape Town. Well, I've got umpteen emails here. They keep telling Krugersdorp, who keeps sending it back to Pretoria. Pretoria sends it back to Krugersdorp. They say, please send it to Cape Town. Goes back to Pretoria. I think it's happened 5 times. I can't believe that this sort of nonsense goes on. In this day and age, I've got all the emails here send it to Cape Town. And then eventually the Cape Town fellow says, I give up. I've done you a favor. You're going to have to fly to Krugersdorp to pick up your license. Now, I'm sorry. I sometimes just want to bang my head against the wall. What am I supposed to say to this person? You know, no, they're just deliberately doing it to really irritate you. No, seriously. I don't understand why you can't get it right. It's not brain surgery to get a license and give it to the person who applied for it. It really isn't. And yet this sort of thing, this kind of story goes round and round and round the country over and over, and they say, you see, SATs can't work. Won't ever work. It's just, I just tear my hair out. And I don't understand why you can't get a grip on it and just sort this situation out. Please, give us some indication that you're doing something, because it sure doesn't look like it.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I might agree with the Honourable Annalise here that some of the questions are not reflected here. The issue of the Community Policing Forum talks to visible policing, Chair. Now, I asked a question on this last Friday, Thursday, that we have boards, we have this CPFs, and one a community member was saying to me, because of this expertise that the detectives acquire in the process, can't it be a good thing that these people use that expertise and they are used in CPF employees because of that the expertise that they have? Now, I said to the commissioner that I need to respond to that man. If you cannot use that expertise, why not? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I just want to get a clarity on 4.4.1, the last bullet. It says an achieving system will be established at various provinces. I think we should bring forward the dates and the, what does it mean? What does it mean? That it means that there is what we have just asked Chairperson hasn't happened, or is it the answer to your question? I just want to understand it correctly.
Can I say again this? National Commissioner, when we visit police stations, one thing that they are reporting now is that there is indeed improvement in the processing of firearm licenses and certificates. Time has been shortened. It's no longer something that takes ages. This they are saying. And therefore, where is the problem now? It is at the stations themselves. And that is why I'm asking this question, to say, what are you talking about, what is supposed to happen or what is happening? And I'm asking this question, National Commissioner, because if we agree in this meeting that it is happening and go out of this meeting and do not ensure that it happens, then we'll remain with the problem of firearm licenses that are at stations, police stations, and not distributed. If we have cut down on turnaround time, it probably will be easy to get the owner. The chances are that he will not have changed time, I mean, the place of work or whatever address or number and so on. And this they are saying it has improved the turnaround time. But what is the problem now is the stations themselves. And this is the issue that we think has got to be addressed. And National Commissioner, On this one, we're requesting that you indeed address this matter. Because like we've said, it is no longer just an administrative matter, a management matter. It is being a political matter now. And we cannot, therefore, let it happen and continue to happen. And that is why I'm asking this one question. I cannot confirm that in other stations as well, they are not signing when they are taking their licenses, because we did not check that in the police stations that we visited until we were at the Luwata, where it was very obvious that they are not signing anyway. We got to realize that at Luwata police station. And it was that man, that member, who said to us, "This, we saw the document." And he explained to us, and those that were there from the province did not tell us that, no, 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 it means they are doing it wrong here. Because there was province with us, they were with me, senior members from the province, I think the deputy provincial commissioner was with me, did not say, no, 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 it means they are doing it wrong here. This is how we are doing it provincially. So it would seem like they are receiving these cards, they're distributing them, they're not signing anyway. Which thing must be corrected if it is not happening? Or if it is happening, it must be reinforced in other stations.
Well, Madam Chair, I was not in the meeting, but I was told where they were talking about the Child Protection Act. I was not in the meeting, but I know you raised an issue of an excellent exercise in one of Mpumalanga police station again, of a dedicated officer. We have spread that already, especially those stations that have a high turnout of that we are having people. We are still in those good ones. We have just suggested another one. That if it is a good practice, why not? Gerald Mwenya was part of the turnaround strategy committee. Maybe to say what is on the ground going forward, so that you don't revert back from those dark days where 30,000, 15,000 were expiring before they even taken. I think it takes 5 years for the license to expire. 5 years. No. So it's a serious case that 15,000 will stay there for 5 years without police trying to find that, without the owners trying to come back. So there are things, but one thing for sure about those processes must be forever: one, implemented; two, improved. But let's hear what is on the ground moving from the strategy of turnaround, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, in responding to the call by the Minister after the discovery of the challenges that talks to applications for licenses of firearms renewals, we came up with a project which we believe we have come to an end of it, but then the report still has to be presented before the Minister. What happened during the process is we had to come up with a short-term strategy and a long-term strategy. The short-term strategy was focusing on the backlog. At the same time, we had to ensure that there are parallel processes that are running, so that we, at the end of the project, we do not have a situation where we'll have picked up another a situation where we'll have another backlog. What is in here, Chairperson, in the report, is informed, amongst others, by the work that was done during the project, and also to say, how do we take this forward? The chairperson indicated that there are still challenges within the police station. There is an improvement in other areas. Yes, chairperson, amongst other things, we had to ensure that we develop structures which will ensure that they are dedicated capacity. People that will be dealing with firearms applications, who will not be removed as and when from whatever they'll be doing, which was the situation. We have already finalized the national structures and the and the provincial structures. Posts were advertised. They are busy with the filling of the posts. But then at station level, the management forum will be finalizing the structure that talks to station capacity, which include structures that talks to the dealing with a applications, etc., Madam Chair. We believe immediately after capacitating finalizing the process of the structures and filling the posts, safe to say that does not necessarily mean that currently there is nothing going on. There are people that are temporarily placed. We believe there will be a lot of improvements. Amongst other things, there were issues which were raised about the systems. It's one other thing that we're working towards ensuring that it is there.
Maybe just to add one thing, National Commissioner, those people that are responsible for the licenses at police station level are not accountable to the station command. They are a unit at the station level, but not at all accountable to the station command. And therefore, whether or not they are working or loafing around, the station commander cannot tell them, cannot hold them accountable to that. And we thought that was, can I also take this in so that you respond to all?
All these things we know. The things that are not said is that this is a bill that was passed many years ago that was budgeted for ring fence budgeting for the implementation of it for the first. It was passed in the time that Mr. Mululeke George lost direction and was chairing this committee. And there was ring fence funding for this. Yeah, I think for 3 years, if I remember correctly, for the implementation that of this. It included the systems. It included what you now present to us as a new finding, which the general presented to us last week as well, about the designated firearms officers at the stations. It included what the Act said, give them vehicles. It included all of these things. It was budgeted for. I think if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to go back to that. The first year's ring fence budget was 63 million. I think we can check it. I think I'm correct. 2002, somewhere there. The ring fence for the implementation thereof, just for that 1 year, was 63 million. The question I want to ask is, does the department have work-study officers? Does the department have work-study officers? Do you have? Do you have enough?
We don't have enough.
Are they involved in these kinds of things? Because this is what they are supposed to be doing. It's working out a system that works, that are effective. See, I'll stop here, but I honestly want my answers on the sub-13 stores. I really want my answers on the sub-13 stores. I'm willing to sit here and talk 12 o'clock even if I sit alone.
You know, it just strikes me that with the virtual non-implementation of this legislation, we've also looked at the second-hand goods bill, which I've just discovered hasn't even had the regulations. I mean, that's not implemented. It hasn't got regulations. We're looking at the fingerprint bill. When we ask about it at stations, most of them look at us as though we've made it up. So much of the legislation that we sweat over, it just goes nowhere. It becomes a huge issue, and when we ask at the stations, have you got this, have you received notification, is it implemented, is it working, there's just nothing. There's just nothing at all. I'm getting increasingly concerned that there's this huge chasm between what we do and actually what you do. And I just see that the legislation that's being passed time and time again, it just falls into this crevasse and is just not implemented. No matter how many assurances we get, time after time, we get this. we get these ridiculous situations where the citizens of South Africa are just saying, but they don't do what you say they're supposed to be doing. I don't know how to answer that anymore. I really don't. It's a huge concern. Huge, huge, huge concern.
Chairperson, the... No. I was there. I've been there. Chairperson, the issue of... the issue of firearm systems, licenses, all the implementation, it's a long story. Even one joined this organization per se, but has been working on the related organizations like safety and security committees and all. It has been a big, big issue, the issue of licensed firearms. That's why when the minister went on it, we all wanted to be there to try and see if we can change the mourning that has been there all the time. And coming sometimes with scary stories to hear that, for instance, the companies, security companies that are deemed to be owned by blacks would be delayed getting firearms, and those owned by whites, they'll be given the same job and get the license, and then they lose the job because they don't have firearms. So those are the stories that. And then as you came, you listened to the story of one person, was asked about that person. We sent another person at the level of a Brigadier General to go and help, but it didn't help, Madam Chair. So hence the minister really grappled with this one. And we believe, Madam Chair, that we have reached the level where we can work. We might not, maybe we are three wheels. We need to put a fourth one quick. But we have moved the vehicle from the blocks where wheels were completely taken off. We have put some wheels, including this designated firearms officer. I don't know, you say the Honorable Bruno, TP, I think they are DFOs. Including them, who themselves, they complain that station commanders never cared about them. They would put whoever is there on that particular day. And if there is a shortage there, they take you the next day. If there is a shortage, they take. Hence, is a dedicated kind of organization. Working with the whole chain, you coming at the station and you linking with them coming back to the station. So as we're saying, Madam Chair, they know the whole chain of going up and down of you getting the firearm. You can utilize them, as we're saying, which is true, utilizing them in other understanding that who ordered this gun around here that has done that 1, 2, 3, all those kind of stuff, but dedicated them coming, dedicated them going. So that ratio they'll talk about, it becomes the matter of compulsory, because you are not going to know which guns have been, which licenses have been ordered and all that. Madam Chair, the Honorable Van Dijk raises the matter. I would not want to talk to that matter now of the systems and monies that were dedicated when the law came. I think there has been a very popular waymark kind of a thing. That's a system that would have been put on the trial. Maybe, I don't know when the Technology Management Service, TMS, present, I understand there will be a question about Tetra and all, maybe they can, because if it is true, there is a huge problem there. Biggest ever problem. I'm not saying, but I've heard stories that are not too small. No. With the implementation that the Honorable Van Dijk is talking about, talking about that thing was supposed to be 67 million.
was supposed to be 47 million, it moved to 47 million, moved to 106 million. I'm told now from 47, it has moved to 500 million, but not completed. So these are the things that needs to be, as it can, it was 47, as it end, it's 500 and not finalized. I sit here sometimes and I wonder how genuine you are. You know, I was listening to us talking about forensic. So interesting that members like Honorable Kolapana never ask questions to those things. Never. Not once, not twice, not thrice. Never ask questions on those matters. No, I'm listening here, not asking. I don't know why. Like this one. Has been spoken about the family that has been running this ISM. Again, you never. I hope the Almighty God will come to our hearts one time. And you all do on the genuine work, not faces of people we work with. Thanks, Sha.
Sorry, I have a sense I'm being attacked, but I have no idea what's going on. What exactly have I not done, or have I done that I should have done or should not have done? I didn't understand. Could you just decipher that for me, please?
Should I say it for the National Commission? I understood the National Commission to be saying, when we're discussing forensics and the project, they... He's actually saying you did not ask questions. That's what I think he's saying. I don't know. But let's leave it like that, at that.
Because everybody from the top to the bottom happens to be the white member. That's why there are no questions about that. I'm just asking.
Could we just stop this right now? If I'm being accused of being a racist, I'm leaving this room right now. And that is what has just been said. I'm sorry, I will not put up with this. I will not tolerate it.
National Commissioner, I think let's leave this matter there.
We'll leave it. We'll come back to it on other matters. For instance, issues of police that are doing well are raised here and happen to be white members. And those that are black doing well never raised. I've read these things before, Madam Chair.
Can I come in again, National Commissioner? And can you please switch off your mic?
I'll come back one day to this one.
National Commissioner, I'm still the chairperson until further notice. And when I rule on the matter, I rule on the matter. Yes. As the portfolio committee, when we ask questions not on the basis of color. Yes. We ask questions across the color line. And we hold everybody accountable. We're doing that. As a matter of fact, sometimes we don't even know as to whether people behind whatever that we're saying are black or white, and we ask questions. As a matter of fact, my personal focus on forensic services is not on the basis of people there being white or black, but it is on the basis that one realizes the fact that people think that we cannot ask questions on forensics, because they are too, you know, specialized. Yes, you're so correct. They're too specialized. And it is very true, National Commissioner, when we visited forensics, we were told about, nobody was talking about DNA there. They're talking about deoxyribonucleic acid. I studied biology at a higher level. So I know exactly what is deoxyribonucleic acid. I know where it is found in the body. I know what it is used for. I know ribonucleic acid. So I know what is RNA. I know what is DNA. I know these things. I've studied them. So you wouldn't just think that when you say deoxyribonucleic acid, you are intimidating me. But it happened. and we think that we're following up on these issues, not on the basis of color. And if the national commissioner is picking up that from amongst ourselves, probably it must be better that you raise it with the chairperson formally so that we can take it up. But otherwise, we're raising matters not on the grounds of color, but on the grounds of principle. What are the issues? We were on the issues related
Chair, he has disagreed with you the whole time he's spoken. I've had it. The man has accused me of being a racist in this room. I've questioned machines in the forensic laboratories, the backlogs for years. Now he says I'm a racist because I sat here today doing something else rather than putting through questions. I mean, how dare he sit here and say that to me? I've been on this committee a lot longer than he's been the head of the SAP. I'm absolutely outraged, and I would actually like an apology from him.
Maybe you're putting me in a very difficult situation. National Commission, there is no issue where we're looking at issues from a racial point of view. And any gestures there that you're making towards each other, as a matter of fact, they might be directed to whoever member, but in actual fact, they're undermining the chairperson. And it is one thing that I can't take. I'm chairing this meeting, and nobody has a right to make it difficult for me to chair the meeting. So you cannot. Okay. Let's continue. Yes. Let's continue with the meeting. National Commissioner, the chairperson is saying this portfolio committee looks at issues, and I'm serious about that. It will be unfortunate if we leave this meeting understanding that we're raising issues on the grounds of color. We've not. I really have not. And it cannot be that. And the matter is like that, National Commissioner. And you cannot, National Commissioner, now I'm addressing yourself, you can't make it difficult for me to run the meeting. You cannot. Yeah? You will definitely take the ruling of the chairperson. Thank you. Let's take the matter forward. You were to respond to some of the issues that were raised.
Honorable Chairperson, let me start with the question by Honorable Kheto. We took note of the detective who can contribute in the CPF, and we'll follow that up with the Northwest, with that particular station. In terms of the firearms, the numbers that has been filed off, General Cruiser from Supply Chain is here, will respond to that, Chairperson. In terms of the SAP 13 stores, in as far as we are concerned, Chairperson, we responded sufficiently on the 13th when when Program 2 was presenting. Chairperson, we acknowledge the challenges in the SAP 13 stores. We acknowledged the fact that the things are not running well, Chairperson, and there has been provincial task teams that has been put in place. Amongst other things, we're looking at the space that is available, the training. The National Commissioner have also mentioned on the 13th about the centralization, putting what we call gun banks, centralizing firearms in particular stations, taking firearms from those stations that are small, that are vulnerable to criminals. And we acknowledge, Chairperson, that this will be a medium to long term because of the costs that are involved. We have also, from national as well, we are visiting the stations, and in short, Chairperson, we acknowledge the challenges that are in the SAP 13, and we are working very much hard to fix them. In terms of the archives, Chairperson, we have also acknowledged the challenges that are there in the archives.
by and large, Chairperson, the most important thing is that our archives are full. They are running over because we cannot destroy documents. We are communicating with our supply chain so that we can get additional space in terms of the containers. Chairperson, until we get the order to destroy documents, which will alleviate almost, create almost 70 to 80% additional space where we can properly manage our archives. And I'm not saying that we're leaving the situation we're neglecting that environment. We're working very much hard to get our archives in order. Our detectives, when they're looking for dockets, it's very much difficult to get the dockets, Chairperson, because the space is just congested. You put in documents on top of documents, Chairperson.
I understand that. However, the biggest police station in the country, Johannesburg Central, I want to believe, followed by Pretoria Central, I want to believe, they are the largest. They have it right. For archives and stores. They're having it correct. Then you go to a police station that really does not have many of the dockets to keep and to store. It's chaos. So even before we talk about these archives being over full and so on, the issue is from the beginning. We went to Nanda police station. They were attending to these issues at the time when we were there, after that case. The issue is not about the space, the issue is about the management. I'm actually saying if you go to police stations there that we visited in the Western Cape, it's chaos, but they're not that big, they're not overcrowded, it's not like that. It's in the management. The issue about the sub-firearms, believe you me, it's not about the space. No, it's not. It's about the management. So let's start there. Once we have done it correctly, then we can discuss the issue of overcrowding and so on and so forth. If you have Johannesburg Central, you have Pretoria Central, then you have, what is this, Bloemfontein police station. Chaos. Not just chaos. Filthy debt. It tells you. So I'm just saying that to say yes, however, it can't be the reason.
I must be honest. I also take exception to say that we feel we've responded to the issue sufficiently on the 13th. The fact of the matter is your colleague, the head of detectives, referred one of the answers that we followed up, said it is with visible policing, they will answer it. Just now, just before we broke. That was what he said. That's what he said. And the fact of the matter is there are issues that are not addressed. And I don't mind if it's not you addressing them. But don't throw the ball between detectives and sub-13 and we must look at the ball being thrown from the one to the other but we don't get the answer. I'm not accepting them. The same station that Jefferson spoke about, is it Luatleo? Captain van Wyk, this time a white captain, again not a family man, a member, same as Sienkie van Wyk this morning, supposed to be the head of that store. And that was the question that is outstanding, and that is why I say I don't accept this answer. To say to us that you've dealt with this issue on the 13th. We don't know what you're going to do, and we're definitely not seeing it on the ground. At that station, there was more than 150 kilograms of dacha, cannabis. More than 150 kilograms. We ask, is this the only drugs in this station? And it's been there for a long period of time. We ask, is this the only drugs in the station? Yes, we were told. Second, I can almost, the shelf on which the other drugs were found were face high, this high. We found the other drugs. Not looking for it. Going through what is there.
The question that was outstanding that the detectives were supposed to answer earlier, that he referred to you, was the issue where we asked, what happens to forensic evidence coming back? Lying, and again, Captain von Wyk, lying on the top shelves. Not one bag, not two bags, bags full of evidence coming back from FSL. No detective has been informed. The bag's not even been processed. It's just lying there. So, whether you answer the question, sir, or whether it's answered by detectives, the fact of the matter is that issue was outstanding. You were here when the detective said that they will, that visible policing will deal with it. I don't mind who answers the question. I don't care whether you bring General Price back to come and answer this question. I really don't care who comes back to answer this question. The fact of the matter is, how many times today have we heard the line of evidence, chain of evidence, and how important is the chain of evidence? That 13 stores are middle, center in the chain of evidence. It's center in the chain of evidence. And if we don't get that right, if we don't get our archives right, we will not improve our situation at conviction, at the level of convictions. We will not. You know, gee, sometimes I think it's sad that SAPS becomes defensive about issues. I mean, you know, Commissioner, when we go to stations, we've said this to you, we make a point of it if we see something good to bring it out into the open. Johannesburg Central, which was a pathetic police station when we visited, pathetic, with the exception of SAPS 13, with the exception of the archives. We asked that the lady who was responsible for, and it's a junior officer, who's responsible for the SAPS 13 store, must come up when we have the debriefing. She sat outside waiting until we called her in so that we could say in front of management, this person is an example of what can be done. You say the issue of the stores and the overflow of stores in terms of the archives. I agree with you. 100%. But you know what, sir? At Honeydew, we find that. But suddenly, because they knew that the committee was coming, they were starting to correct it. The one part of it was still a mess. The other part, you could see they're starting to make a difference. If you've got 7 venues at a police station, like you do with Vera Bridge, where you are locking up dockets, for me, it's not even a question that it's 7 different venues at that police station. If you've got 7 venues, have 7 venues where there are order. Have 7 venues where there are some sort of structure. Not where you've got to go in and you can see the rats have eaten these dockets. Because it's lying on the ground. 2 of those venues are in the cells. It's in the cells of that station. 2 of those venues. Again, there. We asked at both Vera Bridge and Honeydew, knowing that we were coming, the people responsible for both archives booked off sick the morning that we were arrived there. At Vera Bridge or Honeydew, Vera Bridge, we asked them to call the person back, phone them and tell them to come back. We want to speak to them. We're still waiting for that person to come back. So I want to agree with what the chairperson is saying. It's not only about this. It's like General Skitter saying to us, read Annex A. Becomes suggestions, sir. It becomes suggestions. Like it comes with SAP 13 stores, how it should be handled. How it, you should deal with your firearms. How you deal with dispensing licenses at stations. It becomes suggestions. And the mere fact that it's treated like suggestions at the station level is what makes your life difficult. It's what makes us unhappy, because it's not a suggestion, it's supposed to be an instruction. It's legal requirements. We know it's not followed. You know it's not followed. It's on paper, but it's not. And that, to me, Chair, is the frustrating part. We're not trying to be difficult. For one budget hearing, one annual report hearing, I would love to be the one not fighting with anyone.
I agree with the member, Honourable Lake, with the exception of one, where I don't agree, to say we are defensive. I think we have been on this matter, agreeing. We do go to police stations, MFM, Madam Chair. We do. And I think all these members, we have said that S13, it is a nightmare for us. Things like the bank robber, the gun banks, they also come from the understanding of the nightmarish that you encounter as you go to. Maybe you are lucky because you have met people, but I must say, all police stations haven't been satisfied personally when it comes to S13. So, as she says, it's a suggestion. We believe we must start somewhere. On that one, you can't be defensive because it's there, even seen by ourselves as management. I understand this one of the accounts. I think South African Police is one department that we have made our special request privately to those that put the moratorium there to say, please, can you help us? They say, no, don't. But understanding that some will do well even under those circumstances, which means it's something that is doable. The chaos, one which I don't want to say how was it allowed to happen. I think the major thing now is how do we reverse the chaos that is in the SP13. The issue of Inanda tells you how do you steal 90 firearms without anybody noticing. I'm sure if they were in order, you would have seen that something missing. And this is the very reason that they are not in order for somebody to steal 93 of those firearms in the SP13. 93 of them. Which I'm just praying that some of them have not caused damage. Inanda, for the last few years, has been the capital of murder. I don't know what those firearms they have done, but trying to correct it and all that. But I'm sure we definitely accept this. SP13, we're taking it. It does need a correction. Including the infrastructure sometimes, you just wonder, how safe are these guns? I remember when we went to that same station, what is it? Kababomvu. We invited the gentleman. You can see who told the Kukera. He's looking forward to his pension and he's here. And you doesn't even know the key. Take this one, azam. How long have you been here? 9 years, but you don't know the key. So it's a question of us working both the infrastructure, but again, getting dedicated. This member, you keep qualifying that was young, but it looks like we're doing the job. I think that's what we need most, because sometimes if you get two youths to the matter, those that speak English that I don't know much, they say familiarity breeds contempt. Maybe sometimes is that I've been here for long and they're not going to tell me. So to get the best person for that particular, but SP13 is one of the nightmares of the South African Police. I hope the Honourable Mr. Ivank will be disappointed one day. Yeah, I hope you will be disappointed one day working towards that.
Another one, National Attempt Commissioner. In the Western Cape here in one of the police stations, they have, I think Commissioner, Provincial Commissioner Petros will know about it. They have a beautiful shortened version of the Child Justice Act. I think I saw it in the
if it drop at St. Paul's Station, but I think it's something they have here in the Western Cape. In a graphic form, it says a child below 10 years committed serious crime or whatever crime, this is what you do, and so on. This and that. It's the best summarized version, which, if possible, SAPS would distribute to all police stations, maybe even, you know, pick up whatever, so that it is there on their notice board. Because I have an SMS here from a woman who, I think when she sent it to me, she was very emotional, because she thinks children above 16 or 16 years, they commit crime, they rape, they break into their house, they go to police stations, they are released because they are said to be children. And it doesn't matter what the crime is. Really, I would suggest that you probably get that. And my suggestion would be to say, maybe to ensure that it is within the law, give it to a legal person in the department to check whether indeed it is within the law and distribute it to other police stations so that they know. I found it to be the best shortened version than even these station orders, because many of them are nothing other than the national standing or state, I mean, national instructions on Child Justice Act. And even with national instructions, they don't read them, so they don't know them. But that one, I thought that was the best. It is the best summarized version, so you will just know, committed crime like this, this is what you do, that crime, this is what you do, like this, and so on and so forth. So I thought you could. In fact, we said it to Petros, and he knows about it, because I think they came up with it when he was here, so he knows about it.
General Nguyenya, when she reported back on the firearms, I think that's one of SAP's challenges, and I see General Jacobs is here as well from Legal Services, is the fact that national instructions tend to be voluminous. One of the suggestions that was made, of the proposals that was made from the ministerial task team on the firearms issue, was the fact that you need to shorten those kinds of instructions. I mean, I think it's the worst thing, sorry, General Jacobs, but I really think it's the worst thing to give instructions, national instructions to Legal Services to write. We work with lawyers on a daily basis in this place, and they can't say anything in 30 seconds that anybody else can say in 30 seconds takes them 30 minutes to say. And even if you look at the Firearms Act and the national instructions that came as a result of that, the regulations and national instructions that came as a result of that, it was voluminous. It was volume upon volume upon volume of files. We asked for those. We had to send people over to get them. I can't remember. I think it was about this high, if not higher. And I think it needs to be shortened. I don't think it's necessary to have it so complicated that nobody can understand it. General, they won't read it. I won't read it. Why should they read it? Any national instruction, any station order. Why do you expect them to read it if it's voluminous? It's not going to happen. The station commander is not going to train them on it. It's not going to happen. And I think that, General, is something that you can take forward and try and make things simpler. Let your communications department look at. Legal Services should be the last in line to say, yes, what you say here is in line with the Act. But surely you've got other people that can actually draft these things in a simpler manner.
We want to proceed. And in fact, you must assist me now. There's dinner for us, which we can have. Come back, or we continue taking a few questions. And then we close the meeting. Then we go. Then we continue. There's dinner ready for us. We can take a few questions and those that we think they've got to be responded to, and then close. In fact, what is now outstanding, we are done with the financials. We're done with the visible policing. I think we're done with all that is remaining now. Is administration program, isn't it? Is administration program, that is all that is remaining. So we can decide to either take questions on the administration program
have them responded to follow-up questions, or we go and have lunch, we come back, and so on. Honorable Judge, at least you're raising your hand.
No, I want to propose that we finish quickly, Madam Chair. And I want to make a plea. Sometimes that spoils our meeting, is instead of talking on issues, we generalize, and sometimes we go on tangent. If we can just ask questions and people also respond to questions, not long political statements, it will help us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this call is not yet finished with regard to answering questions, because you did also ask them as to whether the answers were actually is what they suggest to do, or that's what they are doing. I'm very much interested in actually finding out from them as to whether is that what's happening, or is that what they think that is gonna happen.
What you said here in your response or your answers, is it what you are doing or what you want to do?
Chairperson, I think that General Mgwenya have responded to that question. Amongst others, Chairperson, point number one, we're looking at the structure that will be able to implement this. But I want to say, Chairperson, the Minister and the National Commissioner gave us 9 months to finalize the backlog. Now, the 9 months is finished, and then...
The following steps taken to ensure that applicants receive their license cards. And the question is, what you have said here in relation to that? Is it what is happening, stations, or what you intend?
It is happening, Chairperson.
Honorable Chair, it is both happening and not happening.
Yes, I think I will agree with that response. It's both. Some of the things that I hear are indeed happening, others are not, but intended to happen. I think that will be the honest answer. General? Mtiba.
Oh,
General Mtiba. Yes, no, don't worry. We find a person. If you don't tell us that it is correct, we get you. If we were to take you to the police station, you say we had, you know, it's so nice when they say, we've had morning parade, and we told them, said, what did you tell them? We told them this, blah, 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 blah. Why there had been morning parades? And they say, what did you tell them? No, they told us that the portfolio committee was coming. Ooh. They told us that the portfolio committee was coming and we must behave today. We must take long lunches and so on and so forth. That is what they will say. And when the constable says that, the CSC manager wants to hide, wants to run. Because he said, I told them about crime prevalence, about... that and good things. Then say, oh, really? Said, yes, yes, Chairperson, we did. Okay, fine. Constable Sir, and so please come. Did you attend the parade this morning? In other stations, many of them said, parade. Yeah, parade. Said, no, we normally don't have parades. Oh, really? There was no parade this morning? No. Okay, thank you. Constable Sir, and so please come. Did you attend parade this morning? No. So it will be that. Others, they said, yes, we told them. No, yes, there was a parade. What did they announce to you? No, they told us that the portfolio committee was coming and we must really behave. Yes. So we checked. What I'm saying to you, sir, is that don't try. Don't even begin to try. Administration. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I start, General Matiba asked me to
respond to issue of identifying police firearms in crime. I think as we previously told the committee, I have started with the dot pin process, which will etch and mark the things much deeper and will make it difficult for them to file the numbers. By the end of March this financial year, all such firearms would have been marked, which would make it easier to trace in the future. Additional to that, we have started the IBIS testing so that we can also trace the firearm if that mark is going through a fire testing with forensics itself. So we have put measures into place so that when our firearms are lost or recovered or used in crime, we'll be able to trace it back to sepsis. So we have put measures in place to address that shortcoming. Madam Chair, while I'm about it, I think we've been so busy, I haven't had time to speak to General Matiba, but we have taken up the case of Honorable Van Wyk around the issue of dams in Pietermaritzburg. The cause of the dams in Pietermaritzburg, sorry. There are two dams
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
I think we have a problem, Reid. The staff in the kitchen wants to leave because they've got to settle. It's between two things, that we have dinner or we tell them that, no, let them go, we will not have dinner and we continue here. Or we go for dinner now because we will not be able to pay them for overtime. For a long overtime, otherwise we'll have to pay them overtime. And for me, really, I wouldn't mind living here late.
Yeah, it is a problem. And also the food has been prepared and it comes at a cost as well. That's the other thing. I want to make a suggestion that we actually do break for dinner and just go quickly. We can go for half an hour for that matter, come back, but that we put a 9 o'clock deadline in terms of finishing, that we all know we're working towards 9 o'clock to finish.
That's seconded? Okay. Time now is 7:15. We will be back in this room at 7:45, and I will not watch Generation today.
Thank you.